Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet, my grandfather Arjun and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma Dev resembled great fish that could very easily have swallowed them. By the mercy of Lord Krishna, my grandfathers crossed this ocean, which was very difficult to cross, as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarshan Chakra in his hand, entered her womb and saved my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kurus and the Pandavas, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashwatthama. Lord Sri Krishna, appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings by his own potency in the form of eternal time, that is, as Paramatma and as Virat Rupa, gave liberation to everyone, either as cruel death or as life. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.58, Samashritaye Padapallava Plavam Mahatpadam Punyayashomurarehe Bhavambudher Vatsapadam Parampadam Padam Padam Yad Vipadam Natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and is famous as Murari, or the enemy of the Mura demon, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoofprint. His goal is Parampadam, or Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is immediately protected by the Lord. As the Lord promises in the Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami Mashuchaha. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. By taking shelter of Lord Krishna, one comes under the safest protection. Thus, when the Pandavas took shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, all of them were on the safe side of the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, felt obliged to think of Krishna in the last days of his life. This is the ideal result of Krishna consciousness. Ante Narayana Smritihi. If at the time of death one can remember Krishna, one's life is successful. Parikshit Maharaj, therefore, because of his many obligations to Krishna, intelligently decided to think of Krishna constantly during the last days of his life. Krishna had saved the Pandavas, Maharaj Parikshit's grandfathers, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Krishna had saved Maharaj Parikshit himself when he was attacked by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. Krishna acted as the friend and the worshipable deity of the Pandava family. Moreover, apart from Lord Krishna's personal contact with the Pandavas, Krishna is the super soul of all living entities, and he gives everyone liberation, even if one is not a pure devotee. Kamsa, for example, was not at all a devotee. Yet, Krishna, after killing him, gave him salvation. Krishna consciousness is beneficial to everyone, whether one is a pure devotee or a non-devotee. This is the glory of Krishna consciousness. Considering this, who will not take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna? Krishna is described in this verse as Maya Manushya because he descends exactly like a human being. He is not obliged to come here like karmis or ordinary living beings. Rather, he appears by his own internal energy, Sambhavami Atma Maya, just to show favor to the fallen conditioned souls. Krishna is always situated in his original position as Satchidananda Vigraha, and anyone who renders service to him is also situated in his original spiritual identity, Swarupena Vyavasthitihi. This is the highest perfection of human life. Om Ajnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim యత్కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగురూం దీనతారణం శ్రీచైతన్యైశ్వరం పరమానందమాధవం నమాం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామీనితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. లైక్ టు బిగ్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ అండ్ పర్మిషన్ ఫ్రమ్ తత్వవిత్ ప్రభు అండ్ హిస్ హోలీనెస్ రాధారమన్ మహారాజ్ ఫర్ స్పీకింగ్ అ ఫ్యూ వర్డ్స్ ఆన్ దిస్ వర్సెస్ దట్ వీఆర్ డిస్కసింగ్ దిస్ మార్నింగ్. సో ఇన్ ఆర్ డిస్కషన్ ఎస్టర్డే మార్నింగ్ వీ వర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ how the Srimad Bhagavatam is a very dynamic exchange of questions and answers between Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj being stripped of everything practically by the curse of Sringi has chosen to come and sit on the banks of the river Ganga to listen to the nectarian discussions from Shukdev Goswami. We heard yesterday how the first 9 cantos describe the greatness of Lord Krishna in his creative potency, in his different incarnations, how he maintains this creation. And the 10th canto describes the sweetness of Krishna because it's Krishna's personal interactions with his devotees. So Parikshit Maharaj has heard from Shukdev Goswami the first 9 cantos. And yesterday we heard how at the end of the 9th canto, Shukdev Goswami summarizes the entire Krishna Leela in 2 verses. But after having heard these 2 verses, Parikshit Maharaj is not satisfied. He feels that Shukdev Goswami has so elaborately described different dynasties, different incarnations, and Krishna only in 2 verses. So therefore the 10th canto begins with Parikshit Maharaj's request. Please, you speak about Krishna in more elaborate detail. You have only told me about Lord Krishna in 2 verses. The whole life of Krishna from his appearance to disappearance summarized in 2 verses. You have spoken so much about everyone else and everything else. What about Krishna? That's what I want to hear. So please, vada vistarat, in great detail now, elaborate detail, kindly explain to me. I am eager to hear. Therefore yesterday we concluded by saying how Janmashtami is about eagerness. And only when there is eagerness or extreme laulya, greed to have Krishna, does Krishna appear. Krishna appears in the life of a devotee daily. There is Janmashtami, yesterday we were talking. Every moment is a Janmashtami when Krishna comes in the life of a devotee. But Krishna only comes and appears in the life of a devotee when there is laulya, greed or eagerness. These particular verses between 5 to 7, Parikshit Maharaj now explains why he is eager to hear. We have to know always why we do what we do. If we do not understand why we do what we do, there are only 2 responses. Either we do it as a ritualistic thing, or we just do not do it. When we do not know the rationale why we do what we do, so many people in the world today do not want to practice Krishna consciousness. Because they don't know why they do what they do. Why are you offering aarti? Grandmother said, I don't want to do what grandmother said. You know, most youngsters today don't want to practice any spirituality, any Krishna consciousness, because they don't know why they do what they do. And somehow or the other, if someone does do it, it is half-hearted or at best ritualistic. Therefore, to do anything in Krishna consciousness properly, there has to be proper sambandhagyan. Unless one has proper sambandha gyan and knowledge of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, where we understand why we do what we do, it will only be a half-hearted commitment to whatever we do in Krishna consciousness. And therefore Srila Prabhupada painstakingly wrote so many books and gave these purports, the Bhaktivedanta purports, which he called his devotional ecstasies, to give us the proper foundation of Sambandha Gyan. Based on that Sambandha Gyan, our chanting, our deity worship, our service becomes meaningful, wholehearted, with full commitment. So herein, Parikshit Maharaj is eager to hear Krishna Katha, but now he is also saying why he is eager to hear Krishna Katha. Why is he so wholeheartedly wanting to hear about Lord Krishna? Srila Prabhupada in his commentary to this verse explains, in a one line he explains very beautifully, Parikshit Maharaj, because of his many obligations to Krishna, he had so many obligations to Krishna that he decided to spend, intelligently decided, beautiful words, because he had so many obligations to Krishna, he intelligently decided to spend his last days thinking of Krishna. What were his obligations? 5, 6 and 7. These three verses describe Parikshit Maharaj's obligations to Krishna, which brings forth Krishna Leela from the 8th verse. Krishna Leela begins from the 8th verse of the 10th canto, chapter 1. Till then, it is Parikshit. And because of Parikshit, we are celebrating Janmashtami. Because of Parikshit, we are hearing Krishna Leela. Because of Parikshit, we knew how Krishna came to this world, appeared in this world. The Srimad Bhagavatam appeared in this world. And following in the line of Parikshit Maharaj, because of Srila Prabhupada, we have access to these great treasures of the incredible pastimes of the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna. So Parikshit says to Shukdev Goswami, my dear Shukdev Goswami, I remember very well the Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. Kaurava Sainya means the Kaurava army. What was the Kaurava army like? Was it a little puddle with a little water? Was it a little lake at the back of the Bhaktivedanta manor? You know, was it a little river? The river Thames, the river Dnipropetrovsk from Ukraine, the river Ganga, the river Yamuna from India? Was it a puddle? Was it a lake? Was it a stream? Was it a river? Sagaram. Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. The Kaurava Sena on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, 11 Akshauhini divisions and powerful warriors. Sagaram. Anyone, if we could go back in the time machine, if any of you use a MacBook Pro or a Mac machine, you know that there is something called as a time machine. Of course, that's only meant for backup, you know. But if we could go back in the time machine to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, everywhere, anywhere we would put our glance, we would simply see an ocean of warriors. And it wasn't the Pandava ocean. Pandavas were small. They were probably a lake. 7 Akshauhini divisions. Whereas with their 11 divisions, the Kaurava Sena was Kaurava Sainya Sagaram. Massive ocean of warriors. What was the nature of this ocean? Duratyayam. Extremely difficult to cross over. An ocean is not easy to cross. Would an ocean be easy to cross? Who can swim across the ocean? One can easily try to imagine the helpless predicament of the Pandava warriors. Pitamaha, my grandfathers, O Shukadeva Goswami, my grandfathers, my Pitamaha, Arjun, Yudhishthir, Nakul, Bhima, Sahadev, all of my grandfathers, I can remember. I can just go back in the past in the time machine and remember my Pitamahas, my grandfathers who were confronted with this massive ocean, Kaurava Sainya Sagaram, you know, which was so difficult to cross. Extremely difficult to cross over this massive army of the Kauravas. Why was it so difficult to cross? Because in this ocean, there was Timingalaihi. There was Timingala fish. What is little fish, goldfish and starfish and sharkfish and whalefish? The acharyas have explained what is a Timi. A Timi is a fish which is 800 miles long and 800 miles wide, by the way. For your kind information, the Timi fish is only about 800 miles long at 800 miles wide. And what is a Timingala? Timingala is someone, a fish, who can swallow the timi and keep it in its gala, throat. Therefore, it's called Timingala. Gala refers to the throat. What is Timingala? Timingala means a fish which can swallow a timi, which is 800 miles long and 800 miles wide, and keep it in its gala very comfortably. My God. Hare Krishna. Just the information sounds astounding. It's too much to even hear of things like this and trust things like this. One time Srila Prabhupada was giving a talk and Prabhupada said, so there are these big, big eagles and fishes, and all these big fishes, big eagles, these big birds, huge birds, and each of these eagles can swallow an elephant. So one disciple was sitting there and he got bewildered. And he looked at Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, eagle swallowing an elephant, how is that possible? How can we understand this? Prabhupada said, you will never understand it. You are still in your mother's womb. You will never be able to understand any of this subject matter. Just beyond us to understand the magnitude of all of these things. And just because we cannot see it now, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You know? If there is a cobweb in any of these corners in the Bhaktivedanta manor, I'm sure there is no cobwebs. Because they keep it very clean. You know, there is a lot of maha cleaning going on, so there is no question of a cobweb. But if there is a cobweb in a corner, in the cobweb there is a spider. And Suhotra Prabhu, in his book, Substance and Shadow, he explains that a spider has only four senses, or has only one sense which is very strong, the sense of touch. Smelling, seeing, hearing, tasting is very poor. It can only touch and figure out what's going on in the cobweb. When the spider is in the cobweb, there is fantastic halwa that is being offered to Radha Gokulananda. You know? And when the devotees smell the halwa, they're thinking, please finish your breakfast early. And they're thinking, the speaker should finish the class early so we get the Mahaprasad. For the spider in the cobweb, that halwa is non-existent. Can't smell. For the spider in the cobweb, all the devotees in this room are non-existent. Can't see. For the spider in the cobweb, this class is non-existent, can't hear. Everything is non-existent. The only thing existent for the spider is the cobweb and the insect caught there. But reality is reality. Devotees are sitting here, class is going on, the deities are here, the bhoga is offered, the fragrance of the Mahapara Prasadam is sifting into the temple room. Just because the spider cannot see it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada told this devotee, you are still in your mother's womb. You don't know anything. There are levels and realms which are way higher and way above planet Earth. And we may or may not be able to conceive a fish which is 800 miles long and 800 miles wide, and a fish which can swallow it and keep it in the throat. Timingala, you know. So who was the Timingala fish? In the Kaurava Sainya Sagara, in the ocean which was made of the Kaurava army, which was Duratyayam, so difficult to cross over, because of the Timingala fish. Who was this Timingala fish? Deva Vratadi Atirathai Timingalai. Deva Vrata Adi Atirathai, the Atiratha warriors, the powerful warriors like Deva Vrata, Bhishma Pitamaha. What's the competition? What's the competition? Arjun? That man who has a Gandiv, so what? So what? A Gandiv, so what? You know? And some of these arrows and quivers which he got from some Indraloka, so what? Here is Devavrata, Bhishma, an Atirathi warrior. I mean, his capacity. Who could match him? Therefore, he's compared to Timingala fish. The battle between Pandavas and someone like Bhishma was like, you know, like a little boy, Abhay, you know, Abhay. Like Abhay trying to play soccer against Wayne Rooney. What's the match? Wayne Rooney from Manchester United and Abhay, what is the match? Or it is like a match between Abhay and Sachin Tendulkar, if you want to take the example of cricket or soccer. Where is the comparison? Where is the comparison? Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj uses the word duratyayam, extremely difficult to cross over. Extremely difficult to cross over. You know. And by the way, Devavrata, Bhishma, had 5 arrows which could have finished those 5 men in one go. 5 arrows, one for Yudhishthir, one for Nakul, one for Bhima, one for Sahadev, one for Arjun. Finished. The battle of Kurukshetra is finished. Where is the match, you know? There's no question of any match there. And we know, Bhishma took a vow. I'll kill them. All. Because Duryodhan went and said, you're not giving your full heart. Like sometimes the temple commander comes in and says, you're not putting your heart in the service, Prabhu. You know, do it properly. Clean properly. Duryodhan was acting as the temple commander and was telling Bhishma, such a great warrior and his grandfather, respectable superior, is coming and telling you're not putting your heart in the service of fighting. Is your heart with us or is your heart with them? Come on, do something. And you know what was Bhishma's score daily? For the first 10 days? Book distributors go out and distribute some little books here and there. It's a big deal, you know. 100 books, 1,000 books. Anyone has done 10,000 books, maha big books in a day? Bhishma's score every day for the first 10 days was 10,000 Mahabig. 10,000 Maharathi warriors, Athirathi warriors. 10,000 Mahabig. Daily score. And in the Kaurav tent every morning there would be, for the pleasure of whom, I don't know. Yesterday's score, different warriors. And Bhishma Pitamaha, 10,000 Mahabig. Hari Bol. Every day for 10 days, first 10 days, 10,000 Mahabig. My God, powerful, you know, powerful man. Who would match them? No one. And those 5 arrows could have finished the battle whenever Pitamaha Bhishma decided. Krishna interferes to save and protect his devotees. Whatever may be destined and whatever may come, karma, the theory of karma, technically, from the Vedanta point of view, from the philosophical point of view, from the theological point of view, everything makes sense. But the Supreme Lord, Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. But the Supreme Lord, Shri Krishna, has a heart that loves. Love is always greater than law. Karma is a law, the law of karma. And love of the Lord for his devotee is a million, a zillion, a quadrillion, infinite times greater than any law of this world. No law can supersede Krishna's love. And it is only based on love for his devotee that Krishna decides to interfere. The whole Mahabharata is Krishna time and again interfering in the lives of the Pandavas to save them from massive disasters that would come because having to face such a massive army, the Kauravas. Krishna interfered, went and asked Arjun to ask for those 5 arrows. And he got those 5 arrows. Arjun went and asked Duryodhan for those 5 arrows. And can you imagine something? On the battlefield, Arjun, and he was fighting so hard, there was never a single drop of perspiration on Arjun's body. Fighting, yelling, all day fighting. You know, when we work hard, we perspire. Arjun never got a single drop of sweat while he was fighting. Except one instance in the Mahabharata. In the whole of Mahabharata, there is only one incident that Arjun perspired. And even that perspiration was only one drop. One drop on his forehead. And when Krishna saw this one drop on his forehead, he said, one drop of perspiration on Arjun, this I cannot take. This is too much. And we are thinking, I am perspiring day and night. Why doesn't he think like that? He had one drop of perspiration on Arjun's forehead. And he's thinking, what is it? I am perspiring all day and night. And what is it? He's just playing the flute, doesn't think about me. One drop of perspiration, Krishna said, I cannot take this. the only one episode when Arjun perspired with that one drop on his forehead was on that day when he was fighting against the Timingala fish, Devavrata, Bhishma. Arjun was in anxiety. Krishna saw Arjun in anxiety for the first time in 10 days of battle. 10 days had gone and this man was so confident, you know. Suddenly he lost his confidence. A drop of sweat on his forehead. Krishna said, man, I cannot stand this. He interfered, got down from the chariot, took the chariot wheel, started rushing towards Bhishma. Arjun saying, my dear Lord, your promise. You promised that you won't pick a weapon on the battlefield. Said, hell with my promise. I don't care for you, Arjun. I don't care for my promise. This went rush towards Pitama Bhishma with the chariot wheel. Parikshit Maharaj is going back the memory lane, remembering Pita Mahame Samare Maranjarair, you know, Deva Vratadi Atirathai Stimingale Duratyayam Kaurava Sainya Sagaram Kritvataran. My dear Shukdev Goswami, my grandfathers crossed this massive ocean like crossing the water that comes in the hoofprint of a calf. Vatsapadam. It was a sagar, a massive ocean, and in 18 days they jumped over a puddle that would be made in the hoofprint of a calf. I'm obliged. I'm extremely grateful. I cannot help but hear about that Krishna. Why am I so eager? Because I remember. And out of that remembrance, I have this obligation and gratitude. I'm so grateful to Krishna for having saved my forefathers, you know. And they saved him. Saved them. He came, he interfered. Every single time in the Mahabharata, he came and interfered in the life of my grandfathers. I'm extremely obliged. Speak to me about that Krishna. That Krishna who saved my grandfathers. That Krishna who interfered in the lives of my grandfathers. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada in his purport explains that the only best protection can come from Krishna in whatever situation. You know. Therefore, one line of the verse of the Gita makes us very hopeless. Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Very tough to cross over. Very hopeless. The second line gives hope. Mame vaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Gita is a combination of hopelessness and hope. Philosophy of the Gita makes us hopeless because we see realities for what they are. And shelter of Krishna gives us hope. Gita is not meant to make us hopeless. When we read the Gita and when we start seeing the realities that mentioned in the Gita about the world, about life, a sense of hopelessness dawns on us. When we realize the modes, when we see the philosophy and when we see the modes in action, we become hopeless. Every morning when we start sit for japa, we feel hopeless because the mind is overwhelmed by the modes. Overwhelmed by the modes, in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, to focus on the holy name is hard. Mameva ye prapadyante maya metam. Taking shelter of Krishna, an ocean becomes like a water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. Parikshit Maharaj moves on to verse number 6, which is not written on the board. But if you do get an opportunity to read these verses today, 5, 6 and 7, Canto 10, Chapter 1, the beautiful verses. Parikshit Maharaj says, my dear Shukdev Goswami, it wasn't just my forefathers, myself. Dronyastra Viplushtamidam Madangam. Dronyastra. The Brahmastra sent by Droni, the son of Drona, Ashwatthama. When the Brahmastras were sent, 6 were sent. Out of the 6, my dear Lord, 5 were evaded very easily. The 6th came straight to the womb of my mother, Uttara. Why? Santanabijam Kuru Pandavanam. In the Kuru Pandava dynasty, I was the last Bija, Santana Bijam, the last seed of the Kuru dynasty. If I was gone, the Kuru dynasty was gone. The child in Uttara's womb gone, the Kuru dynasty was finished. Dronacharya's son Ashwatthama wanted to take revenge for what had happened to Duryodhan. He sent these astras, and the 6th one charged towards my mother's womb. I can remember Shukdev Goswami is hearing, Parikshit Maharaj is saying, I can remember when that astra charged. I remember, my dear Lord, you entered. Jugopa kukshim gata ata chakro kukshim, in the womb of my mother. You entered from the chariot, you entered into the womb of my mother. Jugoka kukshim gata ata chakro. How did you enter? You always carry the flute, Krishna. You are a flute player. In Vrindavan, you play the flute and you charm the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan and the gopis by the playing of your flute. That day you didn't come with the flute. You entered into the womb of my mother. Jugopa kukshim gata atta chakro, carrying your chakra, your Sudarshan chakra. My dear Lord, did you need the Sudarshan chakra? You are the supreme. If you would have just willed, the Brahmastra would be finished. Why did you need the Sudarshan Chakra? Parikshit is telling Shukdev Goswami, I remember, hey Goswami, how the Lord entered with the chakra. I don't know why, Parikshit says. I don't know why. But the Lord is just always so eager to serve His devotees. So eager to serve His devotees. And when he wants to serve, service is very personal. Service means attention to details. Every little detail is attended to. And every single time I speak about this point, I always remember Mother Kulangana's sweets. You know? And that painting on the sandesh. That peacock feather. Every single strand of that peacock feather. You know? Every single strand of that peacock feather painted so beautifully. And I'm thinking, who's going to see it? When you get that, you know, probably Gokulananda sees, but any devotee gets, no one watches. Everyone's eager to put it in the mouth. Who's going to see it? Gokulananda, of course, loves to see that sweet and the peacock feather painted on that sweet. Bhakti and service to the Lord means fine attention to details. Therefore, devotees, sincere devotees, don't take shortcuts in their service. They never take shortcuts in their service. They want to always do their service wholeheartedly. It's a great privilege to get that service. There's no shortcuts. If it's giving a class, or it's leading a kirtan, or it's cooking for the deities, or it's dressing the deities, or it's working in the fields for Janmashtami, there is no shortcuts. And as soon as there is shortcuts, means there is no mercy practically. Krishna is watching not how much we do, Krishna is watching if we take shortcuts. At the end of the day, results may or may not come. Krishna doesn't bother about the results. What he is constantly watching is whether we are taking shortcuts or we are going full out to give our best to serve. Because he gives his best to serve his devotees. He didn't need a Sudarshan Chakra. But bhakti and service is so personal that when he entered into the womb of Uttara, Jugopa kukshim gata ata chakro, he carried the Sudarshan Chakra along. Why? Because he was thinking, just in case I need it. Just in case I need. Sometimes when I travel, you know, I feel, should I carry this book? Should I carry this book to read? Should I carry this book to read? What if for a class I need this book for my reference, and I have hundreds of notebooks in my cupboard with all the notes in my room in Bombay. So many books. Should I carry this? Should I carry this? Just in case I need to speak on this. Just in case I need to look at this. Just in case I need to refer this. And thanks to the modern technology that now everything comes in a small pad. You know what I mean. You know. Thanks to technology. I don't have to carry everything along now. Krishna's thinking, just in case I need the Sudarshan Chakra. Hey, why will Krishna need the Sudarshan Chakra? He's a supreme personality of Godhead. Can't he just kill this guy like that? Easily. But when there is love, there is personal service. Kukjugopa kukshim gata ata chakro. That means I am a devotee. Because Krishna only comes for a devotee to serve his devotee. So Shukdev Goswami may think that Parikshit is a devotee. Therefore Krishna came and entered into the womb with the chakra to save him. How? It would be too haughty, isn't it? Too haughty for someone to say, you know what? Krishna serves his devotee. And you know what? He served me. So you know who I am. I'm not saying I'm a devotee. Krishna serves his devotees and Krishna serves, saved me. So you know who I am. Hare Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj, humble. Why did Krishna come to save me? Am I a devotee? Why did he come with a Sudarshan Chakra? Not because me. Not because I am a devotee. Matuschayame sharanam gataya matu. My mother, Uttara, she is a devotee. I was not a devotee. Matuschayame sharanam gataya. My mother, Uttara, she was a devotee. And when this Brahmastra came rushing towards her womb, I remember, hey Shukdev Goswami, I remember, she came rushing towards you, Sharanam Gataya, Krishna Krishna, Mahabahu, you know, my dear Lord Krishna, save, if you don't save me, it's fine. Save my child in the womb. Mother's love, my God. Prabhupada said the only one thing that can compare anyway close to love for Krishna is the love of a mother. And if I start talking on this subject, oh my God, this is like a subject which is so vast and deep. The affection that a mother has for a child. It may sound extremely mundane. It may sound extremely moral or just something on the material platform. But it is something so special based on that frame of reference of a mother's love for a child. We can understand a devotee's love for Krishna and Krishna's love for a devotee. It is extremely special. Extremely special. And we have all experienced it. Most all of us sitting here have experienced. And we are what we are. Of course, because of our parents. And in particular, because of mother. You know. And therefore, I always say, if you see mother in the Western world, mother is called mom. You spell it mom. M-O-M. And then you just change the alphabet, just turn it around, it becomes W-O-W, wow. You know. So whenever you see mom, you say, wow. What an amazing personality. Mom. Matuschayame sharanam gataya. But she was not just a mom. She was not just a mom. She was an amazing devotee mom. And she had taken shelter of Krishna. Therefore Parikshit Maharaj is teaching us, we need other devotees to pray for us. Our own protection doesn't work. Who are we? Parikshit saying, I'm not even a devotee. But when other devotees pray for us, like Uttara prayed for Parikshit, Krishna interfered. Krishna will only interfere in our life personally when there are devotees who offer prayers for us. And therefore, the greatest treasure of a devotee's life is the prayers of other devotees for us. When others pray for us, there is no more asset greater than that. Because those prayers have the power, the potency and the ability to change the course that we were to take in our life. Because Krishna interferes personally. Things were to go in a certain way. And because of the prayers of someone, Krishna comes in our life. In each of our lives, things were to go in a certain way. Because someone like Srila Prabhupada prayed, one of like Srila Prabhupada's followers prayed for us, things have changed. The course of our life has changed. We have taken a U-turn. Life was going high speed. The vehicle of our life was high speed towards doomsday. And the prayers of a devotee, the car has taken a U-turn. Krishna came in the car of our life and pushed us aside out of the driver's seat. And decided to take the driver's seat and take a U-turn to change the course of our life. Matuschayame sharanam gataya. And therefore, it is indeed the prayers of devotees that truly is a hope for our protection. Parikshit Maharaj goes on to the next verse, verse number 7, to tell us what is his next obligation. His first obligation is that his forefathers were saved. His second obligation is, I was saved. And the third one is an interesting verse. At least I can never do it. I can never chant this verse on a personal note. So difficult. To say that you saved my forefathers, history. Perfect. To say that you saved me in the womb of my mother, history. Perfect. History is the proof. It is a real story. Next one. He is saying, my dear Lord, you saved my forefathers. You saved me. And now you have come to save me again. Kal rupaihi. In the form of time. And what is this kala rupa? Prayachato mrityum utamritam cha. And the most powerful manifestation of kala rupa, your form is time, is mrityu. Here I am sitting. Shukdev Goswami, see, I am sitting here in front of you. Krishna has come to protect me again. I don't know if I can ever say that. I don't know if I can ever say that if I have been cursed by a terminal disease like cancer, I have no idea if I can say that Krishna has come to me, kala rupa. Oh Krishna, I saw your rupa. You gave me darshan with Sudarshan in the womb. In the womb, you gave me darshan along with the Sudarshan chakra. I saw you. And now again I am seeing you. Then I saw your Krishna rupa. Now I am seeing your kala rupa. That's a very dangerous rupa. Very dangerous rupa. To see this rupa is amazing. And when the pujaris decorate them with such beautiful flowers and outfits, and on Janmashtami special outfits, on Prabhupada's appearance day special outfits, beautiful darshan. When he comes in kala rupa, and my God, the way he comes in kala rupa, inconceivable how he comes. None of us know. Like he came for Parikshit, kala rupa from Sringi, for each of us, he will come in kala rupa. How he will come? We may not have Shringis. Who will come? In what form he will come in kala rupa? No idea. At that moment to say that Krishna has come to save me, protect me, my God, that is true gratitude. Tremendously grateful. Based on history, it's easy to be grateful because we know Krishna did this for me. Once I was very hungry and I got Mahaprasad. Krishna, I'm very grateful, Krishna, you did this. We were in Rath Yatra recently, Jagannath Puri, and one of our brahmacharis was pulling the Rath. On the day of Rath Yatra, he was pulling the Rath. The day before the Rath Yatra, he had taken Prasad at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. After that, he had not taken a morsel of Prasad. Next morning, he got up at 4 a.m., didn't eat anything, went to see the Pahandi when Jagannath was being pulled out of the temple. And then, till 8 o'clock in the evening, he couldn't get out of the crowd. Which means 1 o'clock the previous day till 8 the next day, more than 24 hours, about 30, 35 hours, he had not taken a grain of food, not drunk a drop of water. And as he's pulling the cart, he was thinking to himself, Jagannath, I truly don't want to bother you actually. I truly don't want to bother you. I'm just feeling, I want to pull the cart till the end. Just feeling a little tired, exhausted. I haven't eaten anything. Didn't eat anything, Krishna, my dear Lord. And I was pulling the cart, thinking like this, I have not eaten anything. The crowd just pushed him so hard that he fell down. And he fell on a pack of biscuits. Crack Jack. India has this famous pack of biscuits called Crack. He was telling me the story after Rath Yatra day. Crack Jack. And when he told me the story, I was going crack. Crack Jack. And he was telling me, Jagannath is so kind. He saved me from the hunger. You know, these are all things we'll say, yes, Krishna is saving me. When he comes as Kala Rupa. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. Something amazing. I was thinking, someone sent me a nice message saying, you know, hate, the word hate, has four letters in it. And so does love. Enemies has seven letters in it. And so does friends. Lying has five letters in it. And so does truth. Negative has eight letters in it. And so is positive. You know. Under has five letters in it, and so does above. Cry has three letters to it, and so does joy. Wrong has five letters to it, and so is right. Anger has five alphabets to it, and so is happy. And this devotee sent me a message saying, Life is like a double-edged sword, isn't it? It's not coincidental that these words are opposites and spelled the same way. It's like a double-edged sword. We can choose to focus on the better side of life. Rather than focusing on hate, we can choose to focus on love. Rather than choosing to focus on enemies, we could choose to focus on friends. Rather than choosing to focus on lying, we could choose to focus on truth. Rather than choosing to focus on what's happening under, we could choose to focus on what's happening above us. Rather than choosing to cry, we can choose to be joyful. Rather than choosing the wrong, we can choose to be right. We have a choice. We all have a choice. How to respond to the Kala Rupa when it comes. Parikshit Maharaj could respond with great gratitude. Krishna, you have come to save me, you know, in this form. I am extremely grateful. And therefore, when things happen to us at that moment, we can never understand. Steve Jobs said, when he was being thrown out of Macintosh Incorporation, he couldn't see it. Why it was all happening? He made the company. He made it grow to a 2 billion worth company. When he was 30, 2 billion worth company, 4,000 employees under him, he hired a guy to run the trust and that guy threw him out. And when he spoke at Stanford in that commencement speech, he said, at that point, I just couldn't figure out why. And he made a very powerful statement, which is a statement from our scriptures. Connect the dots backwards. When we learn how to connect the dots backwards, we will see how Krishna had a plan. If we try to connect the dots forwards, we can't see the dots. Where are the dots in the future? We can't see anything. But when we see backwards, Krishna has his plans. You know, if that village had not raised that objection in 1996, I mean, Janmashtami would still be very small at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. We would never have got this access road. We would never have had such a community of devotees to support us. We would have never realized in the year 1996, till 1996, we would never have realized that there's such a large community in the city of London who is all with us to support us. We would never have realized. Janmashtami wouldn't have been what it is if it wouldn't have been for that one objection that came that year. When we connect the dots backwards, we see, wow. But at that moment, we couldn't see what was coming out. Parikshit Maharaj focused on the positive side. The Lord has come personally. And then the final obligation, the fourth one, Parikshit Maharaj says, not only have you come as Kala Rupa, you know, to take my life away, you have also sent a special soul. My dear Lord, Muni Sattama, you have sent Shukadeva Goswami so that I can see the positive side of what I'm going through. So that for 7 days, I can absorb my consciousness. Simply absorb my consciousness in Krishna. You know, you have sent Shukadeva Goswami. I am highly obliged. Grateful. I remember. Gratitude means remembrance. And the problem is, because we forget the good things that have been done to us by our acharyas, by the deities, by the Lord, by Srila Prabhupada, by the people around us, by our parents, by our families, by our friends, we forget. Kali Yuga is Vismritihi, the age of forgetfulness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote that beautiful song, Bhuliya tumare samsare asiya pena na bidho byotha. I'm suffering because I forgot you, my dear Lord. Kali Yuga is the age of forgetfulness. And when we forget, we can never be grateful. If I remember someone did something to me, I'm grateful. If I forget, where is gratitude? Gratitude has a lot to do with memory. The more we remember what has been done, we will be grateful. It is grace, His grace, that has made us fortunate. From disgrace, today we have become His grace. People call us His grace. His grace, such and such das. Life was a disgrace before, you know. And from disgrace to His grace, in both the cases, the word involved is grace. When we forget grace, we are a disgrace, you know. If we remember that we are all cases of causeless mercy and grace, how can we not be grateful? Parikshit Maharaj is remembering these four things. How my forefathers were saved. How I was saved, how you have come to protect me again and take me to your lotus feet as Kala Rupa, and you have sent Muni Sattama, Shukdev Goswami to me. Therefore, he is telling Shukdev Goswami, please go on, described to me the glories of that Lord. Shukdev Goswami came to reveal the truth to Parikshit Maharaj. And in each of our lives, Krishna comes like that. One gentleman, he was very much interested in silent meditation. You know, so much interested in silent meditation that he went to a library and found a book on silent meditation. And for 4 hours, he was trying to read this book. And he couldn't understand anything. Silently, he was reading this book on silent meditation. Couldn't understand anything. Was so frustrated. Went to put the book back in the shelf. But because he was so frustrated and angry, he put that book with such force and anger that while putting that book in the shelf, another book fell off the shelf and landed straight on his head with a page open. That book fell on his head with great force and there was a page open. So he pulled that book off and saw what is written. The page was open and the first line there was, silent meditation for this age is simply a bogus thing to do. After keeping that book on silent meditation. So then he closed the book to see what the book was. And the book was Perfection of Yoga by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. You know, the greatest Munisattama. You know, like Shukadev Goswami came for Parikshit Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada came for all of us. We are grateful to Krishna, grateful to Radha Gokulananda, that like Krishna sent the Munisattama Shukadev Goswami for Parikshit, Krishna sent the greatest of all Munisattamas, Srila Prabhupada, for us, so that we could get His grace. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's purports, the Bhaktivedanta purports, are our hope. In Russia, there was a Russian general in the army, and he was very much interested in the Eastern philosophy. So he was always looking for some Eastern book, something. And one day he called some of his soldiers because he heard that they were interested in Eastern philosophy. He called them. And during the KGB, it was a risky thing to do, to say that I was interested in something Indian. Now these guys happened to be ISKCON devotees then. They had received the Gita. So they were very scared that the general is calling us. So they said, probably he'll sack us out. He's come to know that we are devotees or something. So they were like trembling in front of the general. The general said, take it easy. I'm very interested in what you guys do. I don't know what you do. But do you have something on Eastern philosophy? So the devotees realized, good chance for us. Said, yes, we have this book called the Bhagavad Gita. Said, okay, give me this book. So the devotees gave this book to the general of the army, you know. And the devotees said, please give some donation also. Devotees are amazing. You know, he's the general of the army. He should have given just the gift. No, said, give some donation also. So he was totally bewildered. I am the boss here and they're asking for money. But he was also impressed that they're so convinced. He gave a donation of a few rubles. And devotees don't leave like that easily. They gave the book, took the money. And every day one devotee was asking, sir, you read the book? That's called follow-up. Read the book. So every day he says, no, I'm busy. So after 6 months, he was so frustrated. Just to give a yes answer to that devotee, he just read all the translations only. Purports, he thought it's too much, you know, long discussion. So he just read the translation. So next day, the devotee asked again, you read the book? He said, yes. How much you read? So I finished the book. He said, yesterday you said you didn't read, in one day you finished. Amazing, sir, amazing. Said, I read only the translations. So the devotee said, no problem, it's okay, at least some good beginning. That night, the general went and slept. And in his dream, Srila Prabhupada came. And Srila Prabhupada said, reading the translations is good, but I want you to read my purports as well. Please read my purports. And he had seen the picture of Srila Prabhupada in the Gita. So from that time on, then he decided, I will read the purports of Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada's purports, the Bhaktivedanta purports, are incredible. And they are the words of a pure devotee, like Shukadev Goswami speaking to Parikshit. Srila Prabhupada's purport speak to us. In the concluding session tomorrow, we will discuss verses from now on, which will lead to the advent of Lord Krishna the day after tomorrow on Janmashtami. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Yeah.